The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
There is a very interesting tree in the Bible, both in the Garden of Eden and the first three chapters of Genesis, and in the New Jerusalem in the last three chapters of Revelation. In the New Jerusalem, there will be a reward to get to eat from it. Let's talk about that tree today here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for being here today, and we would love for you to get to know us better at our website, faithalone.org. There we have many hundreds of articles that you can read and information about our full-color magazine, Grace in Focus. Subscription is free for those who live in the 48 contiguous United States, and you only have to pay postage otherwise. You can also find out about our tuition-free seminary, GES Seminary. The website again, faithalone.org. Now I'm interested to find out more about this tree of life. And with our question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we got a question from Randy here, and he's asking about the tree of life in Revelation 2. In Revelation 2, the tree of life is a reward for overcomers of Ephesus. But he's puzzled because the tree of life in the Garden Eden was a gift freely available. Looks like Genesis 2 tells us that, you know, God let them eat of every tree in the garden that you may freely eat, but except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I guess Randy's kind of puzzled, looks like, between Genesis 2 and Revelation 22, that, you know, one seems to be a free gift that they can eat from, and the other seems to be a reward that they're given.
Okay, well, that's a good question, Randy. And first of all, let's think about the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, we don't know how many trees there were, but lots of fruit trees, right? And you could eat from any of them. Evidently, before the flood, people weren't even eating animals. Or at least in the Garden of Eden, they weren't eating animals, so that the nutrients on these trees were going to be enough for them to live and to live joyously and abundantly, and it would have been fine. So it's inconceivable to me, and I remember Zane Hodges saying this one time, that they would have skipped eating from the tree of life but eaten the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Zane's point is, regardless of how long it was before they sin, then we don't know. Let's say it was a month. They surely would have eaten from the tree of life in the first few days, or maybe even the first day, and it would have enhanced their life. Its purpose was not so that they would continue to live, because they were immortal before the fall. They became mortal when they ate the forbidden fruit. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die, meaning your death process will begin then. You will become mortal. But before that, they were innocent and immortal.
I guess what you're saying is, you know, it's almost like for us, we have two purposes when we eat, right? Sometimes we eat so we can survive, but sometimes we eat, like we book a meal at, let's say, a five-star restaurant. It's not just to survive, it's to enjoy the meal itself. So you're saying they're eating the tree of life for enjoyment purposes almost.
Well, for that, and also because it actually made them more effective. They felt better and they were able to work harder, etc. Imagine that's the way it is with food today, and to some degree it is. If we eat a healthy diet, we're going to have a more abundant experience, right, than if we eat a bunch of junk food, although, you know, there are people who subsist just on junk food. But, you know, in Genesis 3 and verse 22, the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." And notice he said that the person would eat and live forever. Well, the idea wasn't that if Adam and Eve ate once of the tree of life, they would live forever, because they'd probably already eaten of it. The point was, ongoing eating of the tree of life would have extended one's life. That wasn't its original purpose, because they were immortal. But for the person who's mortal, it would extend their life indefinitely as long as they continued eating of it. And so the Lord kept them from it. But it was never its purpose to extend the life. Its purpose was to enhance the life.
So you're saying even for these overcomers, it's obviously the overcomers already have eternal life. But
right.
Now, by eating the tree of life, they get to enjoy their eternal life even more.
Yeah, look at Revelation 2, and I believe it's verse 7 that Randy's asking about. Would you read 7, Revelation 2, 7?
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
So, Randy's right. This is a reward, and it's only for the victorious Christian. The word overcomer is from the noun form is Nike or victor. Nike was named after the Greek goddess of victory. And the verb form is nikao, and it means one who is victorious. Well, if we are victorious in our Christian lives, then we will have the right to the tree of life. Not everybody's going to have the right to the tree of life. Only the overcomers will. And if you look at Revelation chapter 22, we learn a little bit more about the tree of life. It's kind of a really cool tree. It does tie Revelation 21 and 22 with Genesis 1, 2, and 3.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Look at verse 2 of Revelation 22. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Now notice several things about this. First of all, there's not just one tree of life, there are many. And secondly, it doesn't just yield one fruit, it yields 12 fruits. And third, there are going to be months in eternity. We're going to have 12 months a year like we do now. Evidently, we're going to have time and we're going to have probably have seasons. We can't be certain, but it would seem like the new earth is going to have seasons as well. But the person who has the right to the tree of life doesn't just get one fruit. He gets one in January, February. They probably won't go by January, February, because those are named after pagan gods. But they'll have one in the first month, one in the second month, so forth for the 12 months.
He has the ultimate subscription to the Fruit of the Month Club.
Yeah, what's that called? Is that Simon David or something?
Harry and David?
Harry and David. It's kind of like the Harry and David forever. And the one who is faithful is going to have that privilege. Notice also verse 14. Revelation 22, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So eating of the tree of life is going to enhance the life. Now, does that mean the non-overcomers don't get to eat of the tree of life? That's right, they don't. And does that mean their life will not be quite as abundant and full as those who are overcomers? That's what that means. We should recognize that all believers are going to have joy forever. All will be content. But some are going to be able to glorify Christ more. And our ability to glorify Christ more will bring us a more abundant experience. And so it's not just rulership that the overcoming believer gets, right? Ruling over 10 cities, 5 cities, 1 city. The overcomer does get that, but they also get certain privileges that go along with it, like the right to the tree of life. There's also something called hidden manna, which is going to be a food which will enhance the life. They're also getting special white garments, which will set them apart and will indicate this is one of the rulers. This is someone like in the military, you know, your generals have the stars on their shoulders and on their helmets, and that indicate them as generals. In this case, these people are going to have that. They're going to be special stone with a nickname on it. And they've got lots of privileges that other believers don't have, even the ability to enter the New Jerusalem through one of the 12 gates. The other believers will be able to enter, evidently, but not through the gates. They'll have to go by the monorail or the subway or some other way.
It's like you get the red carpet entrance or you get the back door that you sneak into the building entrance, right?
Yeah, and by the way, in the Old Testament, the gates were always the place of honor. This is where the elders would meet and make decisions regarding various matters. Read the book of Ruth. That's where Boaz is going. He goes to the gates and they make a decision regarding Ruth. It was the case throughout the Old Testament that the gates were a place of honor.
This is interesting because, I think sometimes we have the misconception that our eternal experience is just like a spirit. But here it's like, people will be eating and, you'll be able to enjoy food.
Right. In fact, isn't the Last Supper kind of the paradigm of that?
Correct.
I mean, he says, I'm not going to drink the fruit of the vine with you until we're together in the kingdom. So in the kingdom, he's going to be having, this really isn't the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
It's his Last Supper before, he returns. But after he returns, there's going to be suppers all the time. And, certainly the 12 are going to get to be sharing these suppers with him. But I assume all of the overcomers from time to time will be able to celebrate feasts with the Lord. Now, maybe it'll be a large group. Maybe we're part of thousands of people or tens of thousands if we're fortunate enough to be one of the overcomers. The point is there's going to be a special closeness the overcomer has to Christ. And some of that is related to the privileges we receive. And one of those is the right to the tree of life. So Randy's right. It wasn't a reward in the Garden of Eden. But that's because in the Garden of Eden, there were no sinners.
Right.
Everybody was an overcomer, in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam and Eve had not fallen.
Right.
If they had not fallen, then they would have been able to enjoy all the privileges. Remember that they were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over it? Rulership was part of the original creation mandate.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to find is with the new earth, rulership is going to be part of the new world mandate, and it's going to be for the overcomers. And the non-overcomers will have various jobs. I don't know. Overcomers will evidently give them various tasks to do, but they won't be ruling. They'll be content with their position, but my guess is they'll think, it would have been nice if I had been an overcomer. It would have been nice if I had these privileges, but they won't be jealous because that would be sin.
Yeah, I mean, we basically share meals and we share food with people we're close to and we have friends to. And here is a way we can become closer to Christ in eternity if we're able to share in the tree of life and share in the special feasts or banquets, as you said,
right,
in the future. And it's a great thing for us to keep grace
in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, is forfeiting salvation possible? Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.